Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros.
It's Tuesday, and you know what time it is. It's time, once again, for your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. We are back like bad breath in the morning, but hopefully all mouths are clean and all asses are washed. And with that being said, my name is Eddie Cool. I'm the HOC up in there at the Sports Bros Podcast. And of course, you know I can't do this by myself. Not only do I have one, but I am fortunate to have two of the best co-hosts in the world. Introducing first, B-Live, fix your face, the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? There's one thing in my life that I just don't enjoy doing ever whatsoever at all is swallowing my pride and apologizing. And so I'll get into it a little bit into the show. But that's just my mood right now because I just usually when I say something, I say it with conviction and I stand behind it. And then when I see what I say happen, I'm like, yeah, because I said so because I'm smart and I know what I'd be talking about until it doesn't, and then I gotta have this look on my face of regret, and I gotta hear I told you so's and all that other stuff. So just go ahead and introduce the other guy because I know he's got something to say about what's transpired from this past week. Whatever.
And fresh off of his epic money man rant, which you can catch on the latest edition of the Sports Bros Podcast. Also, on top of that, fresh off his appearance of the Buzz TV show at the Waynesburg University. He's the man. He's doing everything. You know what he's going to graduate. You know who it is. He is the money man, Scotty D.
Does she wear short skirts? I wear t-shirts. She's cheer captain and I'm on the bleachers. Dreaming about the day when you wake up and find that what you're looking for has been here the whole time. It's going to be a T-Swift kind of Super Bowl, boys.
No, it won't. I'm protesting. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's happening. It's going up. It's going down that way.
Let me know when he's done talking about this. I'll come back to the show.
He's not singing.
You know, Taylor Swift is getting less screen time than Jack Nicholson ever did during the Lakers games. I'm not really sure why we're so upset about Taylor Swift. She's there rooting on her boyfriend. She's not doing anything wrong. She's harmless. Nice. She's a nice young lady. You know, in the Buffalo Bills game against the Chiefs, Taylor Swift was on screen 5 times for a total of 25 seconds. That's 25 seconds in 3 hours. In the really cold game the week before, I don't even remember who the Chiefs played at this point. It's been so long.
Dolphins.
The Dolphins. She was on 5 times for a little bit over a minute. So that's a minute and a half in 6 hours. Yeah, I heard him on the radio. I didn't hear what the one was for the championship game, but
the fact that these stats exist is the problem.
It's not a problem.
It's a big
problem. You're talking about 25 seconds out of 3.5 hours.
The fact that we're having a conversation about it is a problem.
Spike Lee was on TV more when the Knicks played than Taylor Swift.
And the NFL is dragging out its big old rake and raking in cash, getting that 8 to 15-year-old demographic. More money, more money, more money. Do not sue me, Wayans Brothers. Do not sue me, but because this is what it is. You know it's a money move for the NFL. You know it's a money move. Big time money move for the NFL.
They backed into it. It was just a perfect storm. They didn't set it up. Remember they set up, it was supposed to be the Ravens. Remember the logo? They had the purple logo.
Now
it's set up because they went to
conspiracy.
I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm just saying that's generally what all the talk is. But come on, give Taylor Swift a break. She's not bothering anybody.
I'm not giving. See, here's the thing. Here's the problem. For those crazies out there that are literally upset at Taylor Swift, I'm not one of them. I am sick and tired of the NFL, ESPN, the media, et cetera, and now Scotty D for continuously bringing her up.
You belong to me.
And with you that being said, me. Before Bilal blows a gasket and Scotty D continues his singing and endless chuckling, let's go ahead and hop right into it, the top of the order.
All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order.
And fellas, that Taylor Swift conversation occupied about good 2 minutes and 25 seconds of the Sports Bowls podcast. But now let's go ahead and move on to football. We had two conference championship games yesterday. In the AFC, we had the Ravens versus the Kansas City Chiefs, the host Ravens versus visiting Chiefs. And in the NFC, we had the visiting Detroit Lions taking on the host San Francisco 49ers. But before we go to that game, let's talk about the first game, the AFC Championship. A lot happened during that game. I saw a lot of stuff. I was at work, but I was able to recap and see a lot of stuff. So question number one, I oppose to this game here. Did Lamar Jackson lose this game for the Ravens, or did Patrick Mahomes just be Patrick Mahomes? Scotty D, what say you?
I don't think it was Lamar Jackson's best game, but I don't think it was his worst game either. You had Zay Flowers going into the end zone, and if he holds the ball for another split second, then they score and cut the lead to 3 points. And who knows at that point what happens, because Kansas City wasn't exactly lighting up the scoreboard either. I think Lamar's biggest mistake of the game was trying to force the ball down into the end zone into triple coverage rather than taking what the offense was giving him. I'm not laying this whole thing at the feet of Lamar Jackson. That was one really bad play, and I just think the better team ended up winning this game. I got to tell you, when Zay Flowers went into the end zone and fumbled that ball, I thought in real time that he had scored. I thought he broke the plane first. But the official that was right there on the goal line made a great call, because it was a split second boom, boom thing. And that was really like one of the biggest plays of the entire game, I thought. And it didn't make me sad, because the kid had just got done taunting. And how stupid is that to do in a playoff game where you make it a really, really nice play. I mean, a really good play. And you just got your fans right back into the game, and you get up and you have to show off. Go ahead and fumble and then go on the sideline and pose and act all cocky and brag. But no, he didn't. He went over there instead and broke his finger. So that was kind of a justice was served thing when he went over there and slammed it. But no, I don't put this all at Lamar Jackson's feet. I just think Kansas City had a really good game plan, and they played very well defensively.
Meatlab, what say you?
Well, let's start off with, I like the point he made about Zay Flowers, and that was bang, bang, yet another bang, bang play, literally at the end zone. But Zay Flowers, whoo, boy, I tell you, you've been hanging out a little too much with one Odell Beckham Jr., because your inner Odell was showing all throughout the game. I mean, he had a lights out game. He can't knock the dude for that. He's very passionate, but yeah, he will. It's tough, especially at you see the goal line. You see it right there. You see the end zone. See the promised land. He reaches out, and what a bang bang play!
It was a great defensive play.
Oh, absolutely, and that is exactly where I'm alluding to. Because out of all of this, all of this MVP talk from Lamar, did he win it? Did he lose it? Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Sheree Rice, and all of this, There is one name that we do not hear enough of, and we need to give this man all the respect in the world. He goes by Steven Christopher Spagnuolo, the defensive
He
coordinator.
goes by that.
He does not go by that. I
Oh,
decided
okay.
it seems that
They call him Spags for short.
Gotcha. All right.
and the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs does not get enough credit. And he came in with a game plan. He said Lamar Jackson is going to, A, he's going to have to throw to win this game against us because we're not letting him out of it. And he contained them. Kansas City's defense has gotten no love throughout this entire season. It's always been about the lack of wide receiver support and is this it? Is the dynasty over? And Kansas City ain't the same Kansas City. And we doubted and doubted and doubted, except for one person on this show that, yeah, he made the correct pick and picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win. Don't bet against Patrick Mahomes. Don't bet against Steve Spagnuolo. The dude came in with a game plan and executed it almost to perfection. Because, like you said, Scotty D, Kansas City's offense, ain't that Kansas City offense that we're used to.
Yeah. And
But
Baltimore only rushed for 81 yards, and 51 of that was Jackson basically on scramble drills.
yeah, that is clearly the way to defeat the Baltimore Ravens team. And now, man, what an offseason that they're gonna have. Like, because I mean, Baltimore did everything right when it came to the offseason. The Lamar Jackson deserved to get paid. Then they surrounded him with talent. And then they both, I mean, they did everything right. And were the number one team in all of NFL.
I think maybe Lamar should have tried to, as far as like passing wise, try to get the ball downfield to himself more, because
He did complete a pass to himself.
that was one of his best plays of the game, was completing it to himself. And I loved how they had the graphic at the bottom immediately. Jackson, one catch, 13 yards. It was
What's so
love it.
crazy
Love it.
Well done by the network.
I do spend a little bit of my time looking at parody videos of comedies and stuff like that on TikTok, and Facebook Reels and all that stuff. They were already talking about like how Lamar Jackson does everything, and then he turns around and now he's a wide receiver.
Yeah.
It's like, good Lord, what can a dude not do? But man, Kansas City's D did exactly what they're supposed to do, and now is almost a foregone conclusion that this could be back to back. But
Let me ask you this, B Live, since you're on a roll there. Did you think there should have been a penalty called on the ball late, that Jackson threw the ball out of bounds and there was some contact, and then Jackson came off the field, threw his helmet down. It was almost like a hold tackle, whatever, on the open receiver in the middle of the field.
Here's I'm gonna say no, because there's so many bang bang plays in the NFL. I didn't see enough that warranted a flag. And when I say I didn't see enough of anything, I really didn't even I'm trying to repicture the play in my head.
Okay, it was on their last drive. They ended up settling for a field goal on that last possession. But in the play, Lamar Jackson rolled to his right. He didn't have anybody open, and he sailed the ball high and out of bounds on the what would have been on bottom of our screen. And as it goes on, you see the defender and the receiver both go down. And I thought that it should not have been picked
Oh,
off.
I think I know what you're talking about, and what this is again, not enough for me to see. I think the ball was uncatchable. I
Well,
think
that was my point too. I thought that the contact happened, and
at
the only
all.
reason we saw it was because the camera was following the ball sailing high and out of bounds, and then we could see that happen. And I can't remember if it was Blandine. I think it was Sterator was on that early game that said, "Oh, there probably should have been a foul called here." I actually didn't think there should, just because it had the play was already kind of given up on when that happened. Like I said, the only reason I even saw the contact happen is because the ball was already on its way well out of bounds when that happened. But if they throw a flag there and Baltimore scores, then they lose 17-14 instead of 17-10. It would have, it wouldn't have, because they didn't end up getting the ball back.
Right. At the end of the day, as much as it sucks to say, the better team won.
I agree.
The team that was most prepared, and defense wins championships again. And so that was something I've always said about the Chiefs that will, that goes sometimes underrated, is that their defense, they play a little ball on that side. It just seems to be always overshadowed by one $500 million man named Patrick Mahomes. But yeah.
Yeah, you also got to think that, like,
the girl up in the booth, the girl up in the booth.
Did you go again? Nobody asked for that.
Used to have bad luck.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
All right, so you also got to think, like, the last handful of years during the postseason, especially during, like, the Super Bowl and the long run to the playoffs, just like B-Live said, the focus on the defense, Kansas City's defense, was not always there. But like B-Live said, they played some good defensive ball, because I don't know if it was last year or the year before, they had a bend, and they bend but don't break defense, and they still wind up being successful. But I hope we know with Steve Spagnuolo instituting that game plan, they can probably further this going into the Super Bowl as they advanced to the big game, if you will. You know, you got to have rights to say the words. But anyways, moving on to our next game, Lions, 49ers, or as they say back home, the 49ers. Let's talk about Dan Campbell. What are your thoughts about his coaching style? B-Live, is it too much? What do you think?
Let me take a deep breath. I'm not going to yell in the mic. I'm just got a tea, thoughts off. Take the points. I don't understand it. What are you trying to prove? What really? I get it. I get it, ankle biters. I get the grit and the grind and who you are, and you never stray away from your identity and whatever. But bro, for the love, you're not less of a man because you kicked a field goal. That's just smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost like we're back in high school and you got to protect your reputation because you're the tough kid in class.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, what if there was a comedian that said it best? And I can't even remember, like, oh, you thought you were Billy Badass until you met Billy Badass. Like, bro, like, you just, I don't understand it. Like, you were, not only were you winning going into the half, not only did you just then forget how to coach, because San Fran clearly made, like, adjustments going into half, which me and Scotty D talked about a little bit, that we knew was going to happen. And Detroit came out flat. But then you still had a chance, and you had another chance, and you had another chance, and you had another chance, but you keep shooting yourself in the foot because you don't take the chances as they come. Take the points. Take the points. Take the points. And then he had the nerve at to say this after the game, and people going, oh, Dan Campbell says, oh, he's a man's coach, and all this stuff. Talk about, we may not ever make it back there again. Who thinks that way?
So, Scotty D, does that comment is side by side by Doris Burkin or Steeler Resolve? Is that on even playing field?
I don't know. I'm not really sure what he was getting at with that comment. I don't know if he was talking, like, specifically that this group of guys, because, you know, in NFL, you never have the same team 2 years in a row. You lose. I don't know what his mind was. I don't know where he was with that. But getting back to his coaching style, I talked about this back whenever the Lions played the Cowboys, and he went for two, and the penalty moved the back, and he kept doing it. And I remember we were saying he should have, once they got the penalty, and then the Cowboys stopped him, and then they got a flag, and then he went for two again. At that point, we said, kick the extra point and try to take your chances in overtime. Don't put it all on this. I think there's a stubbornness there where you're like, this is how we do it. This is just how we do it. This is how we do things. But if you're going to be a success, if you're going to be a successful, yeah, if you're going to be a successful coach in any sport at a championship level, you have to adapt to what the unique circumstances, the unique situations of postseasons. NBA head coaches will shorten their bench often in the NBA finals in the postseason. You see Major League Baseball managers go to the bullpen way early if their pitcher looks tired or gets in trouble. And they will pitch guys on short rest. Why? Because you have to adapt to what's going on. When you're in that situation and you're up 14 points, all the 49ers did when they came out with the second half was get a field goal and cut it to 14. They didn't come out gangbusters and go right down the field and score any touchdown. And Detroit responded with a very nice drive down to the 30-yard line. And going for it on fourth and two, to me, seems silly because you have an opportunity to put that three right back on the board and everything is settled. And basically the 49ers have lost almost the entire third quarter. They lost 10 minutes of game time to get back into it. And when presented with the second opportunity to do the same thing, to take the lead after the game had been tied, he did the same thing. He passed again because he's got big balls of steel, we'll say it like that. But you can't. But you're at that point, you're managing the game with your heart, not your head. Like, I mean, I believe in these guys. We're gonna do it. We've done it all year, man. You got to get the points. You have to do what's best for the given circumstance. It's not a. I mean, you're not playing the Cardinals in October. And if you're doing that, then I'd say, yeah, let's go for it. But you're trying to get to the Super Bowl, man. I mean, you're right there on the Super Bowl's doorstep. And by not picking up that first fourth down, that energized the 49ers offense. And then it all came unraveled. The ball bounces off your defender's face.
Ooh.
They score a touchdown. Then you fumble the next play, give the ball right back. And then the same jackass who dropped that fourth down play, which would have made all this irrelevant had he caught it, drops another one whenever your offense was just getting going again. And it all came unraveled. But then again at the end of the game, I thought they managed this very nicely, getting, you know, not using their timeouts, getting down to the 1 yard line, and then you run the ball and you have to burn one of your timeouts, and that just completely destroys everything. When they ran Montgomery, they brought him in. I think it was Greg Olsen said they might want to run the ball now because they're bringing Montgomery in. Well, if this guy knows it, then surely the defense says they might want to pound Montgomery by. Let's key in on him. Man, bad idea. You just take two more shots. And then they threw it successfully for a touchdown on the next play, but had already burnt one of the important timeouts and were not able to get the ball back. I think Dan Campbell is an outstanding coach, but I think he has a little bit to learn when it comes to game management, especially in the postseason.
Yeah, in tight situations like this, man. But here we have it. Let's move right into our final topic of this segment. We got 5 minutes left, fellas. Moving to our final topic of this segment, the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the 49ers. Scotty D, real quick, who's going to win and why?
I just have to stick by the same pattern I've been going, but I'm not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes until I see him get beat here. Now, I know he lost a couple years ago in the Super Bowl to Brady and the Buccaneers, and I think if you're going to get him, this is the year. I think the AFC, those guys blew an opportunity because this was the year to get the Chiefs. This is the year they were having whoopsies with the receivers dropping balls and things just weren't going well, and they had to go on the road. And you let them off the hook. You let them, you know, just dance right on by you there into the postseason. And I think the Chiefs are not going to be – they're going to address their issues next year, right? I mean, mm-hmm. wouldn't you think next year the Chiefs will be better than they were this year? If you're going to get him, this is the year to get him. So it wouldn't surprise me for San Francisco to win this game, but I just kind of feel like I'm going to go with the Chiefs having 2 weeks to prepare. And I got to go Chiefs. I think we have a chance to get a really good close game again here in this Super Bowl. I think, you know, the Super Bowl should be competitive, but I got to ride with the Chiefs. Be live.
Well, remember I spoke earlier in the show that I said I had to apologize. I'm going to go ahead. This is the reason why I'm going to apologize is because I made a comment. I made a post where I took Cam Newton's picture and I said, if I send you this, that means I was right about Brock Purdy being a game manager. As soon as I
posted, You just couldn't wait. You were so happy with yourself. You're so impressed with yourself. You had to jump on it. You were the mayor of Clever Land, and you couldn't wait to send it out.
I had to hit send, and as soon as I hit send, Brock Purdy decided, oh, wait, I heard the Sports Bros podcast last week when B Live said that I'm going to have to do more than what I've been doing, and he said that I'm going to put this game on my back and on my feet. And that dude started scrambling, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on, Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
I see you, bro. Okay, my bad. I apologize to you, Brock Purdy. I apologize. You did more. You did exactly what I said you needed to do to win the game. And by that, I apologize because I did jump the gun. I apologize to Big Kenny DeWitt. I apologize to you, sir, because I directly antagonized you in the middle of the game.
Oh, wow.
24-7. I went directly to the DMs, our little Wrestle Bros group, and directly antagonized you. And I apologize. Frank Pancho Marietta, he was actually at the game in San Francisco, and I directly antagonized him at halftime, sent him a message. I'm like, bro, you okay? Is everything okay over there? He's sitting.
We need to address that, by the way. we need to address the "Are you okay? I'm checking on you" thing. And that's eighth grade humor at its finest, right there. We have to advance. We got to get away from that.
My team is 2-15, sitting at home without a number one draft pick. All I got left is hate.
I'm coming to you as a friend and tell. We have to address that. Are you okay? thing. Yeah. Somebody check on that. That we have to address that.
I need to stop doing that.
Yeah, it's time to move on from that little tactic. I think
he said you got to find your new one.
With that being said, I'm picking the 49ers because I think Brock Purdy does do what he needs to do. He's healthy. He did what he needed to do.
Why is he suddenly being labeled a game manager when in December he was looked at as an MVP of the league candidate? Where did this game managing thing come from? This kid can play.
Because he's a 49ers quarterback, and anybody can go into that system and succeed. That's what a lot of
people like Trey Lance?
I said the same thing. That's your boy now.
I know.
That's your boy now.
I know.
He's just sitting in the never land because the Cowboys aren't moving away from Dak Prescott. And I know we ain't got no time left. But go ahead, Eddie Cool. You got to edit this stuff anyway, put the pieces together.
All right, so as much as it's going to pain me, because the sentimental favorite, because of, you know, personal reasons, my brother's average favorite football team is 49ers. I was going to say the 49ers, man, but the way the Kansas City Chiefs look, 23-20, Kansas City. Scott, any final score?
Talk about it.
What did you say?
Final score, what you got?
What was your prediction? What did you say? What was the score?
Kansas City, 23-20.
Well, I like that score. I'll say 23-17.
Be live.
14-6, San Fran.
And with that being said, looking at my phone, guess what time it is?
We ain't got that much time.
But get ready to head into the choices of the voices. With that being said, hey, yo, butt, hit it.
And now, our favorite part of the show, the choices of the voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful and so lovely new mother herself, Miss Button, for her introduction to our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. You know how we do it. Scotty D, he asks the questions. Y'all either write essays, paragraphs, don't pay attention. But either way, we're always and forever grateful for your participation in this portion of the show. Fellas, real quick, I was thinking about the other day with football winding down. We're going to need to fill some more space in our podcast. So I'm thinking that we run a little contest, like the hottest hot takes get a chance to come and talk to the Sports Bowls podcast, just be on the show for a segment. How you feel about that? Y'all feel about that? How do you feel about that?
I don't even like the people that I'm on the show with now. You want to add more people?
And in closing, no, we can end this right now. No, I'm joking. All right, Scotty D, what's the question for this week's Choices of the Voices?
Who would you rather have as your postseason quarterback, prime Tom Brady or current Patrick Mahomes? And they had a little back and forth on that, Eddie Cool. What did people say?
All right, our Hall of Famer Uncle Max, who's getting back to 100% health and strength, he says, I would lean towards Mahomes. He is mobile and a magician at finding open receivers wherever he is playing. I will say this, having Hall of Fame tight ends helped both of them immensely. Still, give me Patrick Mahomes. So the Hall of Famer himself says, Patrick Mahomes, boy. Smoking on that Joe Burrow, or his daddy would say. All right, we got a friend to the show, TB, Tony Bogan. What's going on with you, man? Tony Bogan, we got to catch up and have a cold one or two one of these days, all right? Well, it would depend on the offense I was running at the time, but if I had to choose, it would be Patrick Mahomes. Oh, here he comes. And Eddie, I know you mentioned the fact that I had a Southern sports apparel a couple episodes ago. To continue that, I just bought a Saints winter hat. You should have threw that in the garbage. I have a Saints hat. You need to burn that one, too. I owned a Bucks winter hat at one point. Throw it in Lake Erie. I have a Hornets jersey. Okay, we cool. And had a Grizzlies jersey before Ja Morant started acting a fool. Tony, some of this makes you got to throw away. But some of this stuff, you can keep it. So Tony Bogan, he says Patrick Mahomes. So that's two for Mahomes. All right. George Marina. All right. What's up, George? I think it's his first time appearing on Choices of the Voices. George Marina says Mahomes is 100% times a better athlete than Tom Brady.
Okay. That's 100% true.
Yeah.
But I'll also tell you that Michael Vick was 100 times better athlete than either the Mannings or Roethlisberger or Breeze. Doesn't always translate to postseason success. So
that's true.
As far as that goes, I understand. I get the point. He's going with the more athletic of the two, but that doesn't always translate.
I'm about to say, yeah, does athleticism translate to championships? Sometimes it do, sometimes it don't.
Josh Allen might be more athletic. He might be one of the few that's more athletic. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, probably both more athletic than Mahomes.
Yeah.
And his two most recent victims.
Yeah. The butcher knife killer, Patrick Mahomes. All right. Matty Ice, Martin Tracy, he says, it's not even close. No need to speculate. Brady beat him in a head-to-head on the way to the Super Bowl in the conference championships with the Patriots and then smoked him in the Super Bowl with the Bucs, all while over the age of 40. So that's
Homer pick.
Very fat, but back to some valid points.
Yeah. Can't dispute that one. Jeffrey Lewis said, hey, y'all, I think Brady is best. He's the best leader, and Mahomes is the best follower. Ooh, okay. So
I don't know who Mahomes is following, but sure.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, anyways, that's either here or there. Shout out to Jeffrey Lewis, Matty Ice, George Minera, Tony Bogan, and Uncle Max for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices.
He just told you 10 seconds ago how to pronounce that man's last name.
Ain't it Minera?
Oh, Marina.
Marina. George, yeah. George, I'll send you a beer. Just give me an address. I'll show you. George, I'm sorry, George. There's a whole lot going on. Yeah. George Marina. I don't know where Minera came from. I don't know. Maybe because I was drinking mineral water. I don't know. You know how you see things like, you know, like George, mineral water, and it's just, I don't know, just Eddie Cool having one of his days. B-Live, make
You
sure you
might
put it.
want to move on from that one there, Eddie Cool.
Yeah. B-Live, just go ahead and put this on the outtakes. It don't matter. I'm just taking a couple of numbers and store it like that. Anyways, so with that being said, Scotty D, prime Mahomes, prime Brady, who the hell you got?
Man, it's hard to go against either of these because these are both winners. I mean, there's no wrong answer here. I'm going to go against recency bias and go with Tom Brady just for the fact that he did it so many times. And when Mahomes' picture is completely painted, that answer could probably change because he's on pace to win a bunch of Super Bowls and possibly pass up Brady. But for the time being, I saw Brady do it too many times in too many games, all through postseason into the Super Bowl. And in my opinion, at this point in time, I still see Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time. So I got to go with that one. Be live.
Not so fast. Scotty D, there's two factors in this that nobody has mentioned as to Tom Brady and all the things he's done and who I'd rather pick and da 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 da. Spygate and Deflategate.
Uh-oh, there it is. There it is.
I'm saying it with my chest. That is exactly why I'm picking Patrick Mahomes, is because have you heard anything? I mean, anything or even remotely close to anything when it comes to, I see you. You.
I have heard one. I've heard one.
Oh, his brother?
No. That the NFL is carrying them because they love T Swift.
Oh, sort of. Oh, I'm a cuss for it.
You belong with me.
Boy. Oh, whoo. All right.
Wipe your forehead, B-Live. I see you. I see you got a case of the stress sweats.
Have you ever had that pain in the back of your neck?
Yeah.
Like, just because you. All right.
And then it travels to your
hey,
ass.
All I can say is shake it off. Shake it off. Yes. Shake it off. Just shake it off.
You playing this during the week, just how to press my buttons. You put in time for this. Oh,
you set that up for me. That was lovely. I appreciate that.
Just do something, because I'm having a real hard time not cussing.
Are you getting a nosebleed from Taylor Swift? Shake it off.
There it is. Uh-oh. Becca.
Hell. If you're on Amtrak to do something, I swear to God.
All right, be laughing. So let's bring it back. All right, Woosah.
No, I'm not. You know, I'm not gonna bring it back. Okay, let's talk about this real quick. It ain't even Taylor Swift. It's the NFL. It's the media. Like, I don't understand it. Hey, show. I can tell you this right now. If it's any celebrity, I don't want to see any of them. I want to see football. That's what I want to see. I don't want you. Show the fans. Show. That's one thing I love about watching Bills games. When it snows, when they score, you see freaking snow flying in the air, and everybody, you see bare chested men and doing whatever. That's the fandom I like to see. I don't want to see not one person that can afford $10,000, $50,000 box of club seats. I want to see the me. I want to see, we built our show on. Fans for the fans, and now Scotty D is sold out. Now he's
you're going Mahomes. Is that what you're saying?
He's trying to reach out to and pander to the 18 to 25 year old teen little girls or whatever that don't know a damn thing about football. Now he wants to pander to them. Now I'm not gonna have it no more. I'm so God.
So you're going with Mahomes, is what you're saying? Okay, very good. Eddie Cole, who you got?
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a B-Live rant that will also be available online as soon as this episode is over with, all right?
He chose to use his allotted time for that. Eddie Cool, what you got? Mahomes or Brady?
I'm going to have to choose. You ready for this one? And I'm not going to say it pains me, but I'm going to have to say it. I'm going to have to choose Tom Edward
Patrick, Carmichael, Scott, Brian, Edwin, James, Gertrude, Brady, Order of Canada, the fifth. The reason being is because once Tom Brady left New England, everybody said, can he, who needs who the most? Does Brady need Belichick, or does Belichick need Brady, or do they just really need each other, or can they be separate apart? So if you look at it now, you know, in hindsight, because hindsight is 2020, Tom Brady left New England and went on to win a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, beating Patrick Mahomes. And Belichick just floundered.
Ain't like Tampa Bay had a terrible team beforehand. They had a terrible quarterback. They had a self-made team, had some defense on it.
Mm-hmm.
Still can, you know what? I ain't gonna hate all my life.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to roll with prime Tom Brady, man. Because one thing that we didn't want to do, hey, ask the Falcons, ask them. Yeah, you don't bet against Tom Brady. Yeah, you don't be up 28-3, and then we're gonna start throwing the ball. Probably why Dan Quinn doesn't have a job now, and probably will never get a coaching job. But then again, somebody gonna feel sorry to give his ass a job anyway. Is it Seattle still got an opening for coach?
Yeah, they have not filled that yet.
28-3, 24-7. Lions, 49ers, not that much of a difference.
Oh boy, here we go. But yeah, I'm going to have to roll with Tom Brady, because Tom Brady did the one thing that the people thought he couldn't do. They said, well, he's a system quarterback. He's this. He's that. Well, I don't want to say he's a system quarterback, because if you're a system quarterback, you can't win elsewhere. You have to win right there, and that's all. So I'm going to have to say Tom Edward Patrick Carmichael and the man of a million middle names, Brady. All right, so we got all our picks in, fellas?
That's it for me.
All right.
I'm glad that's it for you.
But before B-Li reaches through the screen and tries to punch at Scotty D, which I will not allow violence, what's on tap for next week, Scotty?
Well, we're not
asking that anymore. I'm going to take over this segment. I got a question. I really don't. I just felt like doing that. Go ahead, Scotty.
We're going to go into Super Bowl mode and ask you to share with us one of your all-time most fun favorite Super Bowl memories. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be something that you saw on the field. Maybe you went to a outstanding Super Bowl party, or you hit a Super Bowl square, or you went to Overtime Sports Cafe and enjoyed your day there. Something like that. But it could be something that happened on the field, if you know, an Adam Vinatieri field goal took you to the heights of ecstasy that you never could reach again. That you could choose that. But whatever it is, you just give us a fun, one of your favorite fun, look at his head's gone, Super Bowl memories.
It is his hair blew up. like in the Chappelle show. I was here.
And that, Eddie Cool, give us something to talk about next week. Us too, since B-Live's head went scanners on us.
We went from a headless horseman to a headless B-Live. This is hilarious. Oh my God, I can't believe it. All right, there it is. His head is back again, B-Live. Don't scare us like that. Please do not scare us like that. All right, so with that being said, it's been another edition of the Choices of the Voices. Coming up next, B-Live, put your headphones back on. It's a Roundup Pepper. Stick stay, don't you dare go away. Sports Bulls Podcast, your favorite sports podcast. Hey, remember, rate, review, subscribe, listen, and tell everybody, all right? We come right back at you.
Punching Scotty D in the face. That ain't got me nothing to do with me.
Oh boy, here we go. Choice of the Voices. Not Choice of the Voices, but that's the end of Choice of the Voices. Coming up next, Around the Pepper, right here, Sports Bros Podcast. You guys are crazy.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
All right, you heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get the hell up out of here. But before we go, B-Live went ahead and got that pepper grinder. And it's time, once again, for pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style. Kind of, sort of, not really. B-Live, here it goes. To engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain. The four E's in no particular order. Not ignite, exhaust, exasperate, none of that, man. It's all right. I'm joking. All right. And with that being said, I'll go first. Scotty, do you love this one? On this day in history, back in 1994, Super Bowl 28 in the Georgia Dome, right? When I recently flew into Atlanta, I saw how big the Mercedes-Benz Stadium was. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. Dwarfs the Georgia Dome. Your Dallas Cowboys beat the Buffalo Bills 30-13, and Emmitt Smith of the Cowboys was named the MVP of that Super Bowl. So on this day in history, 1994, don't my boys won the Super Bowl. Over to you, Scotty D.
All right, so we could be facing the sad ending of Sports Illustrated. Two Fridays ago, Sports Illustrated's owner, Authentic Brands Group, informed employees of the possibility that all employees could be laid off. Now, this is a ownership group that has owned Sports Illustrated since 2019, but they sold the publishing rights to the Arena Group, who failed to make their latest payment. That forced Authentic Brands Group to send that notification and say, ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. The union of Sports Illustrated writers is hoping to continue publication, but the future is uncertain. Evidently, the Martha Stewart swimsuit edition didn't trigger the sales that they had hoped last year. So times are tough for the magazine. I don't know. Maybe it goes to end up being like an online format only, but this is a magazine I had a subscription to from 1987 to right around 2018, and I loved getting it every week, and it's just kind of a sad thing, but that seems to be the world that we're living in. Ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Be live. Over to you.
It's another song.
Sports Illustrated. Oh, yeah. The state of print media. And got to get with the times, got to go digital and media in general. It's sad. You know what's also sad?
What's sad?
Like, a lot of people are celebrating this, but it's sad to me. Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid, and Luka Doncic. This past week, all four of them scored over 60 points in a game.
Wow.
In the past week.
Kobe.
A lot of scoring going on. Why is that sad? Because nobody, and I mean nobody, is playing defense. This is like, it's ridiculous how many times you go through games of a night and somebody wins 137 to 131. 132 to 109, 140, 114, 134 to 112. That was Wednesday. Let's go to Thursday, where there were some scores, 134 to 122, 123 to 108, 143 to 110, 122 to 84, 134 to 130, 141 to 132. God, my goodness. Like, how many times, like, this, like, it's not fun to watch. It isn't. I don't think I've watched an NBA game in its entirety this entire season. And what was it, 145 to 144? The Warriors Lakers in this self-dubbed Rivals Week.
Rivalry.
Like, yeah, it was called Rivals Week. I didn't even know that was a thing until now. But how about Rivals? Get some defense in your game. Please, maybe. Like, at all? Like, all of these records are being set because nobody's playing defense. Granted, 60 and 70 points, that's still tough to do regardless, and I don't want to take anything away from them. Just give me some defense.
Yeah, I agree.
Slice bit of defense. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Yeah, just a whole lot of defense. It was kind of like earlier in the season where they had the play-in tournament where it was the Hawks and the Pacers, like,
right.
195 to 190. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? We just, hey, just breeze by me, shoot the ball. And speaking of no defense being played in the game on this day in history, back in 2011, the last real Pro Bowl game ever played where they actually tackled each other, was played in Aloha Stadium in Honolulu, Hawaii. The NFC beats the AFC 55-41, and D'Angelo Hall of the Washington football team, Redskin Commanders and all them, was the MVP. Yeah, when they used to play tackle football in the Pro Bowl, but I'm pretty sure I say it like this. You just do like Canada, the CFL, name your all pros. See you next year. Over to you, Scotty D.
All right, so in a surprising move, at least one that surprised me, the Milwaukee Bucks fired their head coach Adrian Griffin last week and replaced him with Doc Rivers. Now, Bucks were in second place. It wasn't like they were struggling. They weren't on a big losing streak. But evidently, there was some turmoil with Griffin. Things just weren't jiving within the organization. So they bring in Doc Rivers, and that's the surprising part. This is going to be his fifth NBA franchise that he's going to be a head coach of. And supposedly, when he arrived at team facilities, Giannis Antetokounmpo said, "I knew you were trouble when you walked in." Be Live, over to you.
Another song.
you took the time. You dedicated time out of your life to troll me today. It's okay.
You need to calm down.
He wrote all the songs down. Like, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them.
That's what he did.
Troll level 1,000.
Well, pepper point number two for me. Hometown kid, much respect. Going to the UFC, where it has been announced that my man Trayshawn Gore will be part of the card of UFC 298.
Nice.
It's been 15 months since his last fight, but thank God I'm back now. And quick shout outs to his sponsors, people's whatnot, Barber Orthopedics, Garden.
Did it say who he's fighting? I'm sorry, did you say who he's fighting?
Let's see, does not show who he's fighting, but yep. He says, in 3 weeks, I'll be back. UFC 298, Anaheim, California, coming for that victory. So awesome. As soon as we find out, we will report it here at the Sports Bros Podcast.
Nice.
Hopefully his opponent is Scott Donnelly.
Wow.
Beat him up for all the mess he has caused me today. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Real quick, Boo Hill in the house. All right, with that being said, Be Live, to piggyback off of your pepper point from earlier about a whole lot of scoring, on this day in history, then in 2018, Houston Rockets forward James Harden puts up the highest scoring triple-double in NBA history with 60 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists. As the Rockets beat the Magic 114-107 in Houston. So he passed the ball 11 times and still managed to score 60 points. Maybe he won the ball hog after all. Over to you, Scotty D.
Yeah, that racking up the dimes.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, I was a little upset last week with the decision to keep McCarthy.
Just a little bit, y'all.
Just a little bit. And we know that Dak is not going anywhere either. But that's causing some trouble in the family. Dak's brother saying, if I could get him out of Dallas, I would. Because I guess too many people were angry with him. And then Micah Parsons' brother also showing some going online saying he's not believing in Dak. And Micah Parsons had to come out and say, no, I love Dallas. I love Dak. I love those. And then now CeeDee Lamb, his top target, his mom says, Dak ain't it. A lot of big problems in this offseason that Jerry Jones, who's not come out and say anything, he's going to have to clean some clean things up because now we got bad blood. It used to be mad love. Be Live, take us home.
How did he write that in there?
It wrote itself. It wrote itself.
Kind of did.
Dropped it in there. Used to be bad blood.
No, don't co-sign. Do not co-sign. Your credit is better than that. Do not. My third and final pepper point. We're coming up to that moment in time. We're coming into February, and when it comes to Scotty D's favorite sport of all time. Let's talk about NASCAR.
Daytona, baby.
Well, before Daytona happens, this coming week we have the race in the Coliseum in Los Angeles.
Ooh, known as the Clash, right?
Yes, the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum. Now, here is where this is a pepper point, because NASCAR tried to do something, and they bet not ever, and I mean ever, will try to do this again. They planned on having the Saturday qualifiers before the Sunday race. They planned to have the Saturday qualifiers without fans. They were just going to have it televised, and the fans weren't going to be able to be in the Coliseum to watch them qualify. For the love of humanity.
It's like COVID.
NASCAR, you know your fan base. Yeah, I would hope you know your fan base. Don't ever, ever, ever try to deny these people their NASCAR. They go through months during the cold winter where they don't get to see someone take a left turn. Please don't deny them the practice race and the qualifiers. They need to have a whole weekend of drinking Busch Light. So, needless to say, after a lot of public outcry, the fans get to be in the stands for the practice and the qualifiers for the Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum being held this coming weekend. Don't do that no more. Don't try to deny these people their NASCAR. Just like the NFL would make sure they would not deny these preteen girls that are such big fans.
He just walked his ass right back into
Taylor
it.
Swift.
He did.
You just walked your ass right back into it. As much noise as you make.
Let me finish my point.
Go ahead.
Preteen, no football knowing females, they don't try to deny them their Super Bowl moment, just like Scotty D. Yes, I just called Scotty D a preteen female.
Oh, come on, man.
I said what I said, and I meant what I said. He the one came on the show with all these songs and everything, just pushing the narrative. He didn't have to do all that, but he planned this out. That means it wasn't just this morning, but it was days prior to this that he took out a notepad and he was sitting there listening to Spotify with his headphones on, and he was just listening to these songs just so he can spite the Almighty.
We're expanding the audience.
Just so he can poke the bear. He did this on purpose. He planned this. He planned this. And I want everybody, all of our listeners, to hear this out. It's, maybe, you know what? Taylor Swift, go for it. Hey, hopefully you listen to the podcast, but I know you don't. Because you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take off the headphones, because these are actually pretty nice studio headphones, and I done threw them off twice.
You don't want to chuck them.
Before, because I done threw them. And I don't want to bump. Yep. All right, cool. Thank you all for playing. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. We greatly appreciate it now more than ever. Be a blessing, not a burden. Stay out of B-Live's way, because Scotty D will get you, and vice versa. It's been another episode of your favorite sports podcast. None other than the sports prop. None other than the Sports Bros podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, like. You want to be a part of the show? Let us know. We'll be more than happy to have you.
It was take the D. over. NHL All-Star game. Take the over.
Take the over. I totally forgot about them. I ain't gonna lie to you. I totally forgot about it. It's a damn shame. Be Live, take us home.
Yes, sir.
I thought Be Live got mad and left. Don't even go and join me. But yeah, like I said, y'all, rate, review, subscribe. Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon Music. We're there. Sports Bros Podcast. Look us up. Give us a review. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. We work hard. We work hard.
Ever.
Yeah, we work hard for our fans. We love you. Y'all take care and see you next week right here on your favorite sports podcast, the Sports Bros Podcast. Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.